Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history.
The luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream today.
This would have fighting power.
Hello, welcome to Speaking of History, the podcast with a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to podcast episode number 188, and I'm recording this on the afternoon of May 1st, 2009. Well, earlier this week I was in Washington, D.C., and did some stuff with the Smithsonian, and then also had a little bit of time to explore some museums. And I decided to visit one of the museums that I had not yet been to in Washington, D.C., the Newseum. And I wanted to preview that a little bit and just kind of talk about my experiences. I know we have quite a few educational technologists that are headed to NECC 2009 in Washington, D.C. this summer, and this might be something that they would like to go visit. So I'll just kind of share my experiences and maybe give you some suggestions and talk just a little bit about what you might see if you decide to go to the museum this summer. It's probably one of the more recent museums in Washington, D.C. They do have the International Spy Museum. They've got Lincoln's Cottage. But I would say that the museum is probably one of the more popular ones of the recent additions. It's actually just down the street from the Capitol on Pennsylvania Avenue. It's a big six-story building, and I'll have a picture on my website so you can kind of see what it looks like. But the museum is devoted entirely to telling how news is reported. So it's part history, part technology, part language arts, really a nice mixture of all those in one particular building. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the different levels. When you first come in, you have a orientation film down on the bottom, and then you go up an elevator, and they actually encourage people to start up on level 6 and then work your way down through the museum. And it's an impressive museum. They have 14 major galleries and 15 theaters throughout the entire museum. And when you go up the elevator, it's a glass elevator, and they've got a really neat display from the Berlin Wall, 8 different sections worth that have all the graffiti and everything on, and then a 4-story high East German guard tower that they brought over from Berlin. So while you're going up to the top level, you can see the Berlin Wall and all the different artifacts. And then on level 6, they have a different, I guess temporary exhibits would be the word. And right now it is Abraham Lincoln exhibit from James Swanson. James Swanson is the author of Manhunt, Chasing Lincoln's Killer. And it's kind of a personal collection of some of his Lincoln memorabilia. A lot of it is old newspapers. And he basically collects almost anything that he can find on Lincoln. And I thought it was a little bit overdone. You know, he came out with the book Manhunt, and it seemed like when I was in the display, almost every single place you looked, you saw the logo for Manhunt. So I thought it was maybe a little bit over the top, but it was kind of neat to see the old newspapers. But my favorite part of the museum is on level 6, once you get through the temporary exhibit, and that's a place called Today's Front Pages. They've got a bunch of different newspapers from around the world, and then when you go outside on the terrace, they have an amazing view of the Capitol, and you can stand there and take pictures, you know, yourself or your family with the Capitol in the background. You've got a great view of the avenue leading up to the Capitol, so you can see Pennsylvania Avenue. So it's just a really neat place to get a cool picture of Washington. And then when you move down to the next level on level 5, this is the part that's actually my favorite part. It's called the famous newspaper front pages. And what they have is in the middle of this long room, they've got all kinds of newspapers displayed under glass from events in American history and even some from before American history. So, for example, you've got the front page from when they were announcing that Jesse James was killed, or the start of World War II and the attack on Pearl Harbor, or Marilyn Monroe dying, or Don Larsen pitching the perfect game in the 56 World Series. So you have all these different newspapers, and you can see the top one on display, and then they've got drawers below each newspaper that show two other ones. So you can actually pull those out and look at them. And then they also have different displays in glass around that particular aisle. But as a history teacher, that was probably the coolest part of the museum for me, is you can actually see all these old newspapers. And I took some pictures, and I'll put those on the blog of what that looks like. But that was really well laid out, and I really enjoyed that in looking at those different newspapers. They also have some famous books on that level next to the historic newspapers. So they've got like a page from the Gutenberg Bible. They've got an original copy of Common Sense. They've got some different things from colonial times as far as like the intolerable acts. So they've got some really neat stuff on level 5. When you go down one more level onto level 4, the big exhibit on level 4 is a 9/11 exhibit. And they have the antenna from the North Twin Tower in New York City from 9/11. And then they've got basically like a two-story wall of newspaper front pages from around the world. So they've got a really powerful display about 9/11 and how it was reported. And they've got all those newspapers. And I'll include a particular picture that I took that shows that. But it's kind of a really powerful, moving event. And then some artifacts from one of the photographers that was killed covering 9/11. On the next level down, on level 3, you've got a memorial to different journalists that have died in action, covering different types of stories, primarily war stories. You've also got a neat map that's called the World Press Freedom Map. And on that map, they've got it color-coded according to how free the press is. So you can look at the map and see which countries are very free and which ones have a controlled media. And it gives you kind of a perspective on, you know, what other countries have as far as the ability to get information out. And it's kind of interesting to see how many were actually free and how many were controlled to a certain extent. You also have a studio for the George Stephanopoulos show that's filmed in Washington each weekend. And you can actually look in on the studio. I thought that was pretty cool. You've also got the master control room. So what it would look like in a major market if you went to a newsroom. And then they actually control all the different video feeds in the different rooms and theaters and stuff from that particular master control room. Going down one more level, on level 2, you have an interactive newsroom for kids. And I didn't spend a lot of time there because they did have a bunch of school groups in there, and it was pretty much swamped. But they've got a bunch of different places where students can go in and read a teleprompter and then get taped. And I believe it's like $5 to get the tape when you're done. But you do get a view for what it's like to actually be behind the desk and, you know, reporting the news, reading off the teleprompter. So it's very interactive. It'd be a great place for kids. Then they also have an ethics center where you can do different things with an interactive game on that level. So that'd be a great place, again, if you had, like, you know, junior high kids, or I guess I didn't spend a lot of time there, so I don't know how young you could go on the interactive game, but definitely like junior high or high school kids, you play this interactive game on different choices on ethics that reporters have to face. And then on the last level, on level 1, they have an amazing gallery of Pulitzer Prize-winning photographs. And some of these photographs are extremely powerful. I mean, there were people, you know, weeping and crying. And they actually say when you walk in there that some of this might not be for young children. But they've got these beautiful displays of some of the most famous Pulitzer Prize-winning photos and descriptions of what happened when the photographer took the picture. If there's some kind of story that happened after the picture was taken, it kind of gives you some background on what the follow-up story was. But that was really a powerful experience to see all those images. The next place, the last place that I went on my tour, was the four-dimensional theater. And this is kind of a video that portrays different aspects of reporting in history. So like they had a person from the Revolutionary War talking about reporting some of the stuff happening in Boston. They had Nellie Bly. They had Murrow from World War II. And it truly is four-dimensional. When you walk into the theater, you get 3D glasses. But I'm not going to spoil what happens during the video. But let's just say they use a variety of different senses while you're watching this video. And it was a really cool video. I mean, I'm not much into 3D stuff. But this was really well done, and it was cool the way they did different things with senses. And it was included with the actual price of admission, so you didn't have to go into the museum and then pay like an additional $5 or $10 to see the show. So it was pretty cool. So I did the movie last. You could definitely do the movie at the beginning if you wanted to. But for me, on my trip, it was kind of neat to kind of end the trip in the museum that way. So there were some amazing museum stores at the museum. You could buy all kinds of different things relating to news. They had their own separate kids store. So definitely not a problem on trying to get some kind of souvenir from the museum. So admission for the museum is $20 for adults. And you get kind of used to going to a lot of the things in Washington for no charge. You know, if you're going to a lot of the Smithsonian's and the memorials and all that kind of stuff, there's no charge. At first, I thought $20 was kind of steep. But I would say if you did a variety of things in the museum, you might be there for like 2 or 3 hours. So it's not something you're going to go in and out of probably in a half an hour. So $20 for adults was probably reasonable, considering, again, a lot of the other museums you're not going to be paying anything for. For youth age 7 to 8, it's $13. And then people under the age of 6 for kids, it is free. So, again, you know, it kind of depends on what your budget is, but I think that it was definitely worth $20 for me. The hours are 9 o'clock in the morning until 5. And I went there on a Tuesday, and again, it was April, late April, so there were some school groups. When I got there at 9:30, there was almost virtually nobody in the museum, and it actually opened at 9 o'clock. So I would definitely recommend, if you wanted to go and really kind of read some stuff and enjoy the museum, maybe go a little bit earlier in the morning, like right when they open it up. Once we got to about 10 o'clock, 10:30-ish or so, that's when the kids definitely came in force, and there were quite a few school groups, and you know, some of them were not exactly chaperoned very closely, I guess is how I could say it politically correctly. So like, for example, if I was doing it again and it was 9 o'clock in the morning and I got there, I would go up to level 5 and I would look at the historic newspapers, because once the kids came, that was just a zoo. There were all kinds of kids running around, pulling out the different papers and not really looking at them, but just kind of like playing tag and stuff like that. So if I had the museum to myself in the morning and I came really early, I would definitely do something like that first. You know, and it wasn't like it was super chaotic, but there were quite a few kids groups going through. So definitely kind of plan for maybe early morning. And I would say if you're an adult, maybe you're with a spouse or, you know, with some colleagues and stuff, I would say if you're interested in news, probably, you know, plan on maybe like 2 or 3 hours at the museum. But I would definitely encourage other people to go. I'd like to take my wife the next time we're in Washington, D.C. together. And there's stuff that when you go back a second time, you'll definitely get stuff out of, because I went through in about 3 hours and there were some things that I definitely didn't read all the way through. And they'll have that changing display throughout the years and stuff like that. So I would definitely give it a thumbs up. Great place to check out. You're close to the Capitol, so you can head right down the avenue and then go into the Capitol. What I did after I got done was go to lunch, and I walked down Pennsylvania Avenue and went to the old post office, and they've got some great places there to eat. So it was about a 2 or 3 block walk, and got some different things to eat and just kind of relaxed a little bit. So it's in a great location, and it's about a block and a half from the National Archives as well. So kind of right in the middle of everything. So I will put up some pictures if you'd like to check out some pictures that I took from the museum. And if you've been to the museum and you'd like to comment on your experience or would like to add something, please leave a comment. Our blog is at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Or if you have a specific question or some comment that you want to address to me, you can also send that to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. So hope many of you get a chance, if you go to NEC, to go to the museum and check it out. So thanks for listening, and as always, remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst, an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. This podcast has a Creative Commons Attribution non-commercial license. Show notes, links, videos, and pictures are available at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. Music used in the intro and close is Technotrip, a track by Sounds Abound. You can learn more about their royalty-free music for schools at their website, www.sounds.com. speakinghistorypodcast@gmail.com. Comments or questions about the podcast are always welcome, and you can contact Eric at speakinghistory@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and please remember, history is so much more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys.